Yes, we already did that. Do it again. Again, welcome to visitors. We love visitors to come and visit and then just stay. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to focus this morning on each and everything that the Holy Spirit would have us to focus on. And to be real honest with you, I'm still working on that. I've been almost hearing all morning. It's like I have a sermon prepared and my heart has been prepared. And yet I just, something's stirring this morning that's just pray that I'll be sensitive and have understanding of what the will of the Lord is. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to stay for lunch. Some people come and they didn't know that we were going to eat and all that. And they'd say, well, I'm not going to stay because I didn't bring anything. Well, we purposely brought more for you. So please stay. And besides that, we want to, after we eat, we want to introduce you to an up-and-coming professional basketball player. Now, he's not born yet. But we're fully expecting this boy to grow up and follow mom's footsteps. Amen? Yeah. If that boy turns out as tall as his mom, he'll have no trouble getting the ball into that basket. Amen. But back to spiritual things. I have way more notes this morning than I have capacity to use them. But we're going to get started here. Everybody say Elijah. Let me pray one more time. Father, in Jesus' name, I really do want to hear you. I want to tap in. I want to be in tune. Fine-tune me, Lord, to what you would have us to do with you this morning. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Thank you for coming to church with us. We don't want to be in church without you. We cannot be in church or be the church without you. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Help us to flow with you this morning. Amen. I've been working for 3 or 4 weeks on some things for Elijah. How many remember Elijah? A couple of you are old enough. He's an Old Testament prophet. And in studying Elijah, I found that his name was actually one of God's names. If you've been to this church very many times, you've found out that God has a number of names. And in fact, I used to have a poster on the wall, and it wore out, and we took it down. It had something like, I'm going to make a wild guess, seemed like it was like 101 names or something that are in the Bible that pertain to God and his nature. But in the Old Testament, you have a lot of L's. And to simplify things, for the most part, they ended up calling him Jehovah. But the L's were very prominent. And I didn't realize it until I made this study that Elijah is actually pronounced El-Ijah. Did you know that? You probably already knew that. El-Ijah. And his name means, let me read it to you so I don't want to miss this. El-Ijah, God is the Lord. Isn't that a cool name? He goes to town, he goes to Walmart to get his stuff, and somebody's friend sees him down there. Elijah, how you doing, man? Is God still the Lord? And he says, am I still alive? Amen. Just to give you a little bit of Bible dictionary background, we have several L's here. Let me share some of them with you. We got El Bethel, God of Bethel. Everybody knows about Bethel, yeah. El Eazar, God hath helped. El Elohi, Israel, the God of Israel. El Hanan, God has graciously given. El I, my God. El Iakim, God raises up. Here's we call him Elisha. El Iasha, God will bring back. El Iezer, God is help. Elihu, God, he. And Elijah, Elijah, God is the Lord. Elimelechek, I don't know if I said that right. God is king. How many know God's king? Amen. We have Eloi, my God. And this is just a partial list. El Shaddai, many of you have probably heard of El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one or many-breasted one. El Elyon, who was actually the father of Jesus Christ. That's cool, huh? Olam El, the everlasting God. Now, that's the ones I had wrote down this morning. I know there's several more. Barbara's got a more inclusive list if you ever want to know about them. You would say, well, why would God have so many names? I don't know. Why do you have three or four names? Okay, let's simplify it a little bit. What is your name?
Barbara.
I thought it was Barbara Ann.
It is Barbara Ann.
Barbara Ann Mason. Barbara Ann Mason de Scott.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Kids call you mom. The kids talking to other kids said you were the mother. Well, I told somebody the other day you were my wife. Did anybody ever hear me call her sweetheart? God has many names because whatever he was doing with the person or with the people of Israel at that time, he did it under a certain aspect of his name, a certain nature of his name. He was a God of war, or he was a God of peace, or he was a God of all sufficiency. He was a God at Bethel. He was a God, you know, all these different ways. And so it's not like there's a whole lot of gods. There's just one. But he has many different expressions of his nature through his names. Isn't that cool? And Elijah, who we'll probably end up calling Elijah this morning most of the time, was one of God's names. But Elijah was an Old Testament prophet. And I'm going to call him this morning Elijah the Conductor. Conductor. Conductor is in an orchestra. How many have ever seen an orchestra, or maybe on TV? All these instruments, right? And what did they follow? The conductor. What did the music follow? The conductor. Now, we had August the 21st, is that Sunday before last or last Sunday? Two Sundays ago, we had a prophecy came through during praise and worship that God would make the music, but he wanted us to conduct. That he by his Spirit would make the music, but he wanted us to conduct. Now, let's break that down a little bit. God supplies the power, the inspiration, the anointing, the miracles, the message, the vision. But who actually works these things? He allows us to conduct his spiritual gifts. He allows us to conduct, and most specifically, the ministry, fivefold ministry, more specifically, narrowing it down a little bit. These ministers conduct the music of the Holy Spirit so that the church can hear it and grow and be blessed. Amen? And so in a sense, that's what I'm doing this morning. I'm conducting what I believe the Holy Spirit would share with the church this morning. It's his message. It's his anointing. His word. His power. If we get a miracle this morning, it's his miracle. But he expects to use conductors to get it to the people. And Elijah was a conductor in his day when the children of Israel were running wild, serving many other gods. He began to conduct the Spirit of God and preach and prophesy and manifest, if you will, the very spirit and will of God to the people of Israel, and he made a huge difference in the direction that Israel were going. I want to read some things to you this morning about Elijah out of the Bible dictionary. Everybody say dictionary. Okay. Elijah, as we told you earlier, is God is the Lord. He was called in the Bible the Tishbite. He was not an Israelite in that sense. He was a Tishbite. You know, there were the Tishbites and the Israelites and the Mennonites and the Favorites. I'm part of the Favorites. You're supposed to laugh and say, me too. Wouldn't you like to be part of the Favorite tribe? Yeah. Okay, the meaning of Elijah the Tishbite, that particular name, the meaning is uncertain. He was of the inhabitants of Gilead, the wild and beautiful hill country east of Jordan. There's nothing known of his parentage. In other words, his parents weren't mentioned. The northern kingdom of Israel was the scene of his ministry and work at the time. Owing to the influence of Ahab and Jezebel, the people that had almost entirely forsaken the worship of Jehovah for the Phoenician god Baal. An account of Elijah's life is found in 1 Kings and 2 Kings and New Testament mentions in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Malachi. A fixed belief among the Israelites prevailed for many centuries that Elijah would appear again for the relief of his country. Among the Jews, he is still expected as a guest at every Passover, for whom a vacant seat is reserved. Interesting. He was not so much a great teacher as he was a great hero, a man of simple faith, the ruling principle of whose life was a consuming jealousy for Jehovah. His recorded words are few. His influence was due to the force of character, the strength of will, and his personal courage. Now listen to this carefully. There was never any real danger after Elijah's ministry of Baal worship becoming the national religion. Before Elijah came along, Baal was becoming Israel's national religion. Elijah changed that. He got them back on track with Jehovah. Everybody say, yay, Elijah. His life closed in a mystery. There appeared a chariot of fire, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Whoa, what a man. Superman. He probably wore a t-shirt with a big E on it. But I wanted to share this. You know, this is not real spiritual per se, but sometimes we need a background, a Bible background, just the facts, you know, what's going on here? Who is this Elijah? You know, you hear about Elijah and all of his miracles and things he'd done. You hear about it all your life in church, but who was this guy? Well, you know a little bit more about him now, right? Jasmine's got it. Amen. Hallelujah. But Elijah was the conductor of the orchestra of God for his day. And back on that just for a minute. In 1 Corinthians 14:32, we have Paul the Apostle teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. And he says this. He says, the prophecy is subject to the prophet. In other words, if you're going to hear a prophecy, it's got to come through the prophet. And he's the one that determines, conducts, orchestrates what is said. And I have found by experience that is the same with all of God's nine gifts of the Spirit. They're subject to us. They are gifts. And it's up to us as to how we conduct or orchestrate those gifts to the church. You can't sit back and wait on God to do everything because he's waiting on you to do something with what he gave you. He's looking for conductors. I'll go so far as to say God's looking for Elijahs, to rise up in this day in the same kind of jealous spirit as Elijah had to preach Jesus in power and anointing and strength and life-changing godly righteousness. Hallelujah. God is calling for Elijahs to rise up today. Amen. In Mark 16, 15 through 20, he talks about going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah, we preach that. Amen. And what do the believers do? They lay hands on the sick and they recover. They cast out demons. They speak in other tongues. Well, now, those are the gifts of God, right? All these miraculous supernatural events are the gifts of God. But who's doing it? The conductors. Who's making it known to the world? The conductors. Everybody say, I want to be a conductor. I want to orchestrate the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You're still with me, right? I can tell you because you haven't left. Now, before we make a superman out of Elijah, I want Barbara to read something to you.
Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Elijah was a man subject to natural passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit.
Yeah, he's Superman. But he was a man subject to the same passions we are. In other words, if God can use Elijah, he can use you and me. If miracles can be done in the name of the Lord by Elijah, miracles can be done by you and you and you and you and you and you and you. Because he was a man subject to like passions as we are. God's looking for more Elijahs because he wants more miracles. He wants to catch the world's attention. And he uses miraculous supernatural events to do that. The word of God preached in power. The word of God made manifest by miracles. God's hungry for that. And he's calling us today to be more like Elijah. You've heard me pray and preach, Lord, make us more like Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. But Elijah is going to get some attention this morning. And I just so am blessed by the fact that even though I read miracle after miracle in his life, he was a man like me. So I qualify. You qualify. As we obey God, we qualify. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 17 and read you. I'm going to be in a New King James. And I'm going to read you several verses. I may just read you 2 or 3 chapters until it's time to eat. I don't know. Are you ready? I think Lucy's going to put it on the board so you can follow along. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, and Ahab was the wicked king, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word. Now, we read in the book of James, Barbara did, how he stopped the rain and started to rain. He controlled the weather. That's power. I said that's power. When the preacher comes along that's controlling the weather, you need to listen to this guy. Amen. Now, in the middle of this verse, he says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, here is prerequisite. Did I say it right? I wrecked it, didn't I? I prerequisited it. Numero uno. If you want to be like Elijah, you got to stand before the Lord. Before whose God I stand. The God of Israel is before whom I stand. Where was he when his ministry started? Standing before the throne of God. If you want to be like Elijah, if you want miracles in your life, you start at the throne. Come on, somebody says amen. You need to write that one down. I need to start at the throne. Where's the throne? Well, your knees know. Get on them. And they'll tell you where God's at. Amen. In verse 2, the word of the Lord came to him, said, "Get from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. It will be that you shall drink from that brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and stayed at the brook Cherith, which flows into Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now, what a way to camp out. Wouldn't you like to go camping by a beautiful brook, cool water running out of the mountain, and have the birds bring you meat and bread twice a day? And that's camping out, isn't it? That's roughing it. Verse 7, it happened after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Why? Because he was in control of the weather. And he was actually punishing the land for their service to Baal, the false god, trying to get their attention. Number 8, the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there, for I've commanded a widow there to provide for you." Okay, let's hang on there a minute. I'm on verse 9. Now, if a great and horrible famine came into the land of Douglas, would we be looking for a widow to sustain us or a rich man? We would probably hope that some compassionate rich fella would rise up in the neighborhood and say, "I'll feed them during the famine." Well, then the people could say, "The rich man fed me during the famine." They wouldn't give glory to God. Huh? But God chose a widow woman, as you're going to see here in a minute, a widow woman who is as poor as Job's turkey, as we say. I don't know if Job even had a turkey. Why do we say that? But if Job had a turkey, he would have been very poor, I'm sure. Where am I? Number nine. I've commanded a widow to provide for you. Number 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." This is a woman who's in dire straits and needing encouragement. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. She and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. I want you to take special notice here that God used a widow woman to sustain the prophet. One of the hardest things I do in the ministry is to receive offerings from the widow woman. When I first began in ministering in Mexico, it was in the spring of 1986. I was working on the church building for Jose Luis de la Torre across the line. And his co-pastor, who was as poor as a widow, was helping me, and at the end of the day, I had been welding. At the end of the day, he had been my welder's helper, and he was moving the welder around as I was climbing around on the skeleton of the building. And so he was helping me with tools and passing things back and forth. At the end of the day, we were rolling up our leads and putting tools away. I got ready to say goodbye, and little brother Jose pulled a coin out of his pocket. And I know him well. I had known him for several months. I had been in his home. I knew his family well, and that coin was a lot of money. And he handed it to me, and he said, "The Lord wants me to give you this." I said, "No, I can't take your money. I can't do that. You keep that. You need it more than I do." And the Holy Spirit convicted me till I thought I was going to get a whooping. And he said, "You would reject the widow's mite?" Reluctantly and in repentance, I received that offering from that brother. And to this day, I have opportunities to face that sort of thing, working among the poor in both nations. And someone comes in and I know they need money bad, and they put money in my hand or in the offering. My natural person wants to grab it and give it back. "You need it more than I do. But would you reject the widow's mite?" Because the widow obeyed God and gave to the prophet first, they were all taken care of. This same principle works today. And I've been working on this for 30 years. And I still struggle with it. But I still have to obey God. And I still see time and again the hand of the Lord move in behalf of the poor. I had a special blessing a couple of years after the experience I had with receiving this first offering from a poor person. A couple of years later, Pastor Jose Luis, at that time we were going to church several times a week down there, and we were on his deacon board, and I was driving the church van, picking up people and different things. So all of our work was there. We hadn't yet started the ministry on this side of the border. And we're getting ready to start service. They always start late like we do. And Pastor Jose Luis came and ran and got me. He said, "Come here, come outside." And I said, "Well, it's time to start." He said, "We're 10 minutes late." He said, "I don't care. Come on, I got to show you something." And he took me outside of the church and he opened the door and he said, "Look, look." I said, "Yeah, look at what?" He said, "There's cars all over the place." He said, "Remember a couple of years ago when our little church, no one had a car?" He said, "We've been teaching the poor to give, and look, they're prospering." You still with me? Verse 17. "Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. His sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, 'What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance, to kill my son?' He said to her, 'Give me your son.' So he took him out of her arms and carried him up to the upper room where he had been staying and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?' He stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him.' And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. The soul of the child came back to him. He revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, your son lives.' Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now,'" everybody say now. "Now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth in truth." Barbara and I were reading this passage a day or two ago, and she said, "Why did the woman say, 'Now I believe you're a man of God,' after all the miracles he did with the oil and the meal?" And we talked about that and discussed it, and we said, in memory, in retrospect, how many times do we see the miracles of God and provision, and we forget how powerful God is. And a tragedy comes along and, oh God, have you forsaken me? Where are you? And then God steps in and does a miracle. And we say, now we know you're God. Had you forgotten what he did before that? And had you forgotten what he did before that? Have you forgotten what he did before that? How many are here this morning? Raise your hand. You are here. I submit to you by the word of God. You're here because of the mercies of God and the blessings that he's brought into your life to get you here and now, right now, at this point in time in history. Had it not been for the blessings of God and the mighty hand of God, you would not exist, baby, nor be sitting here this morning. Everybody's, yeah, we're preaching, right? Where am I? Let's go to chapter 18. Are you having fun yet? In chapter 18, as it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. And remember, this by third year, it means since he shut off the rain. To give you a timing point there, a point of origin on time. In the third year, saying, go and present yourself to Ahab the Arab. I got it. Ahab the Arab. And I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab the Arab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And by the way, I'll add here, Ahab was a worshiper of false gods and Baal. He did not fear God. But his prophet over his servant over his house did fear the Lord. In verse 4, for it was so when Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hid them 50 in a cave, and he fed them with bread and with water. Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land to all the springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive so that we will not have to kill any livestock. So they divided the land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. Now as Obadiah went on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, is that you, my Lord Elijah? He answered and said, it is I. Go tell your master Elijah's here. So he said, how have I sinned that you're delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there's no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. When they said he's not here, he took an oath from that kingdom or nation that they couldn't find you. And now you say, go tell your master Elijah's here. It shall come to pass that as soon as I'm gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you away to some place I do not know. So when I go tell Ahab, he can't find you and he'll kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? Now you say, go tell your master Elijah's here. He'll kill me. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand. Where was he standing? I will present myself today. Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And as it happened when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, it's you that troubles Israel. He, Elijah, answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather all of Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Backing up a little bit, do you notice here Obadiah says, I'm not going to go tell Ahab you're here because the Spirit of the Lord will pick you up and take you off somewhere. I submit to you that Elijah had a reputation of appearing and disappearing. Oh, that's pretty far-fetched, preacher. Maybe in those days, but, you know, people don't appear and disappear. You ready for a story? Say, I'm ready. About 5 or 6 years ago, we have a mission team at the mission station in Cumpas, Sonora. We're across the street from the mission house in the little church called Dios es Amor. God is love. Pastor Jesus Espinosa has been there 30-some years. still there. We saw him last 2 days ago. So we're there with the mission team. It was 5 or 6 years ago. I don't remember the exact date. And we had a service one Sunday night that was the service of services. Sometimes God shows up and shows off. We had a young man at that point from Oklahoma. From Illinois. He now lives in Oklahoma. Name was Leon. Some of you have met him. Leon was so lost in the spirit. He was just, he was out of it. He was lost. You could look at him and see through him. He was in the spirit. As the service progressed, the spirit was moving, and the folks that were lukewarm had faded away and out the back door, and there was only about a dozen people left there, and they were just getting deeper and richer and deeper and richer, more concentrated in the spirit. And I looked around and I couldn't find Leon. I'm sitting right here. A dozen people in the church, like, where's Leon? Barbara, have you seen Leon? No. I thought maybe he went back to the mission house to go to the bathroom or something. About that time, a fellow from Wisconsin across the aisle, Dave, I said, Dave, have you seen Leon? Kind of worried about him. Just make sure he knows his way around. Don't want him to get lost. Dave looks around and said, well, he's not in here. He's not in here. And I said, well, I guess he must have went across. Leon was sitting in my seat. Dave couldn't find him. I couldn't find him. He's sitting in my seat. Leon, where were you? Drunk in the spirit. Drunk in the spirit. Barbara comes to me and says, a few minutes later, she says, some of the ladies need to go do the ladies thing in the ladies' room in the mission house across the street. So she takes the key to the house. She goes over and she unlocks the front door and opens the door and walks in, and Leon's sitting on the sofa in the living room. No way to get in the house. Barbara had the key. She said, Leon, how'd you get in here? I don't know. Lost in the spirit. Twice that night, he appeared and disappeared. God is my witness. The man appeared and disappeared. God is my witness. I lie not. He appeared and disappeared. And to this day, he doesn't remember any of it. He can't give glory to himself or the arm of flesh in any way because he doesn't remember it. He said, well, if that happened, it must have been God. I don't know. Elijah had a reputation of coming and going. You think that's unusual? Maybe it's not. As we come into the spirit of things as conductors like Elijah and begin to move with the Spirit of God and allow Him to move through us and allow Him to conduct His music with the orchestra of His church, we're going to see people appear and disappear. It's just going to happen. I can't tell God what to do. You can't tell God what to do. You can't tell Him when to do it, but you can expect Him to do it. Where am I? Verse 15. Is that where I am, Lucy? I'm 15. 19. Thank you. Where is this? 19. Oh, I'm on the wrong page. Okay, so they get all the prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel. Verse 20. Ahab sent for all the children of Israel, and he gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Elijah came to the people and said, now Elijah is talking to Israel, God's folk. He says, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord's God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. The people answered not a word. You know, I've done that. I've asked people, you need to follow God or the devil. What are you going to do? And sometimes they don't know how to answer you because they haven't made their mind up yet. 22. Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, and Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls. Let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And I'll prepare the other bull, lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. Then You call on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it's well spoken. Now, we need to stop here and take a thought. The people said, we're okay with that. This tells me they had seen supernatural events by their false god. Or they would have said, Elijah, that's a sorry test. You know that Baal can't do that. No, these people were so deceived, they expected Baal to do something supernatural and send fire down. People of today can get so deceived with their false gods that they think their false god can do anything. You still with me? Where are we, 24? 25? Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose a bull for yourselves, prepare it first, for you are many. Call on the name of your god, put no fire under it. 26. So they took the bull which was given them, they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. You know, you can't even get Christians to stay in church that long. They cried out, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And then they leaped about the altar which they had made. So it was at noon. Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's meditating, or he's busy, or he's on a journey. Perhaps he's sleeping, or he needs to be awakened. I love one of the new translations. It says, maybe he's going to the bathroom. I mean, it really says that. Can you get it? To verse 28, they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until blood gushed out on them. When midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the evening, offering in the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Sounds like the atheist. He got in trouble. He needed help, so he dialed 911 and nobody answered. Sleep on that. Verse 30. Elijah said to the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. It's interesting. He repaired the altar. See, Israel had an altar at one time, but they had forsaken it and had been serving Baal. So Elijah, the conductor, says, we're going to repair the altar. And sometimes we as ministers have to repair the altar where God's people used to worship. Verse 31, he took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes, the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench around about the altar, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, he cut the bull in pieces, he laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 water pots with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. He said, do it again the second time. They did it the second time. Do it the third time. They did it the third time. Verse 35. The water ran around the altar and filled the trench with water. Came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening after sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are the God of Israel and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. And fire from the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water from the trench. Now that's a hot fire. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and said, the Lord, he is God, 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 the Lord, he is God. I got a feeling some of those old boys were, they wore their repenter out that day saying, the Lord, he is God. I mean, those ladies, they cried that out until their voice was hoarse and throat was sore. The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Did you see him? The fire lapped up the stones, the fire lapped up the dirt, the fire lapped up the water. I mean, it wasn't just a fire that burnt the wood. It wasn't just a fire that burnt the sacrifice. No, it cleaned house. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Isn't that great? No, aren't you glad Elijah came along and set them straight? If Elijah had not done this, Israel's God today would be Baal. Because they had went that far. God's looking for Elijahs today that'll stand up and make a difference so that God's people won't serve Baal. We can't let God's people go that far. We got to get them back in church, and we got to get them back on their knees, and we got to get them back in the Word. We can't let them go that far. And the way to get their attention is to let the spirit of Elijah get up on you. God, He is the Lord. Let that spirit get on you. God, He is the Lord. It goes on. We're going to push pause. You get to go on a little later. Elijah had the, as we say, guts. I don't know, that's... I had a teacher one time way back in high school, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. He said, just use the word internal fortitude. Sounds better. We're still saying guts. Elijah had the courage. He had the courage to step out in faith when nobody else was stepping out in faith. Nobody else was preaching this. What he preached was not popular. Wasn't popular with King Ahab. Wasn't popular with Queen Jezebel. Wasn't popular with all the famous preachers and religious people of the day. No, it wasn't popular what he preached. He stood alone, and he stood in faith, and he stood courageously. And he said, the Lord, He is God. Everybody's in love with Jesus. That's what makes it work. Elijah, God is the Lord. Everybody say it over and over. God is the Lord. God is the Lord. God is the Lord. That's Elijah's name, Elijah. God is the Lord. Every time Obadiah or Ahab or Elisha or the widow woman said, Elijah, it means God is the Lord. And so they'd say, Elijah, and he'd say, I know He is. Elijah, I know He is. Some little kid runs up, Elijah, I know He is. Somebody comes along and says, why do you always say I know He is when somebody calls your name? He said, because my name means God is the Lord. God is the Lord. Please stand to your feet. We have a number of New Testament references to the prophet Elijah that I'm not going to take the time to go into today. It'll still preach when we get to it. But as we researched the New Testament part of his name, we saw that the spirit of Elijah goes before the Lord. Is when the Lord gets ready to come and do something, the spirit of Elijah goes before him. Jesus talked about John the Baptist being in the spirit of Elijah. And he said, if you can take this, if you can get this, John was Elijah. And John went before the Lord to prepare the way for the Lord. And God's looking for Elijahs today and those that'll take on the spirit of Elijah today that'll go before the way of the Lord. Because if we don't prepare the way of the Lord, when He gets here, nobody will recognize Him. If we don't prepare the way of the Lord, nobody will recognize Him. He'll get here and everybody will say, who's that? And we prepare the way of the Lord by doing His mighty acts under the power of His name. We prepare the way of the Lord by being the Word of God expressed and made manifest in power and anointing. So that people will know what God looks like. And they show it when God shows up, they say, that's God, because I saw how He was moving by His Spirit over there at Faith Ministries Church. I want you to just pray with me. Heavenly Father, sir, I want to stand, and with my people here today, we want to stand as candidates. As candidates for those that will, with courage and boldness, stand up and say, God is the Lord. The Lord, He is God. That we will stand up and proclaim Jesus as Lord of lords, King of kings, Son of the living God, Messiah, Savior, Redeemer, Healer, Deliverer. We'll stand up with courage even when it's not popular. Even in the face of the prophets of Baal, if necessary, we'll stand up and we'll say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is ruling and reigning in power and might. And it's going to get better and better and tighter and more glorious and more glorious. And Lord, we just stand as candidates today of those that will learn from you and learn from your word and take the examples that we see in your word of men like Elijah that made a difference by being bold. They made a difference by standing in faith against all odds. And the whole nation turned to Jehovah that had once served false gods. And Lord, we believe that as we make a difference today, and Christians all over the world are making a difference today, we're going to be able to turn people to Jesus. Lord, it's revival time. It's refreshing time. It's renewal time. It's power time. It's God time. And we want to be a part of what you're doing today with all of our hearts. We want to be a part of your spirit moving among us and in our communities and in our families. Lord, we want to be a part of your mighty move in the earth today. I just feel like there's somebody that needs to put your hand, just raise your hand up on your chest, and you just need to say, Jesus, I need you. I don't know what to do. Help me. You just do that. That's all it takes. Just do that. You'd be surprised what kind of things will happen in your life. If you'll, with all heart, if you'll say it and mean it, Jesus, help me. I guarantee you, he'll start solving problems fast, so fast to make your head swim. Some of you folks are in dilemmas. And in problems and in situations, you don't have the answers. You know, realize that drink don't have the answers and drugs don't have the answers. Sin doesn't have the answer. You're beginning to realize that. And you've been resisting God, but I'm telling you, God has the answer. Every answer you need, and all you got to do is just say, Jesus, help. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of messing up. Help. Help. You don't have to know how to pray. Just say, help. He will hear you. He'll change you. He'll bless you. He'll strengthen you. He'll encourage you. He'll give you a new life and a new job. God will make a difference in your life if you'll just seek Him. Seek Him today. Seek Him today. Don't leave here without seeking God. He has the answer, the solution to every question and every dilemma. There's no magic pills. I can't give you a magic pill and all your problems go away. No, it's not a magic thing. It's a sincere prayer of help me, Jesus. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Better than a magic pill. Oh, Lord, I pray you bless this congregation today, Lord. From the south wall to the north wall, from the east wall to the west wall, bless these people in here today. All those babies upstairs, Lord, in the children's church, bless those babies, Lord, every and every one. Their teachers, bless them, strengthen them, encourage them. Lord, move by your spirit. Raise up Elijahs from this church, Lord. Raise up Elijahs. Stir among us the spirit of Elijah. God is the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for it so very much. And Lord, as we continue our fellowship today over the table, we bless our food and we bless our bodies. We bless the nourishment. Most of all, we bless our fellowship and we bless the Lord God of Israel, who loves us so much. We bless Tiana, Lord, and that new baby. Thank you for the opportunity to make welcome that baby, not just into their family, but into this family and into the kingdom of God. Lord, that's your baby. That's not just Tiana's baby. That's your baby. And we just thank you so much for it, Lord. We bless the baby. We bless the mama. We bless the daddy. We bless the grandparents, the brothers, the sisters, the aunts, the uncles. We bless that baby and all of his extended family. And we just thank you for letting us be a part of it. Lord, for everybody here today, just warm them up. Warm them up with your presence right now in Jesus' name. Just let them feel warm and fuzzy and happy and content in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, this is what you need to do. You need to find about 50 people and give them a hug and a kiss and then go to the dining room. God bless you.